Prisoners of Our Thoughts, Viktor Frankl's Principles for Discovering Meaning in Life and Work, written by Alex Patakos, Ph.D., and Elaine Dundon, narrated by Jeff Hoyt. Foreword by Stephen R. Covey. Shortly before Viktor Frankl's passing in September 1997, I had heard of his declining health, illness, and hospitalization. I was very anxious to talk with him so that I could express my profound gratitude for his life's work, for his impact on millions of people, including my own life and life's work. I understood that he had lost his sight and that his wife was reading to him several hours each day in the hospital. I will never forget the feeling of hearing his voice and visiting with him. He was so kind and gracious as he listened to my expressions of appreciation, esteem, and love. I felt as if I were speaking to a great and noble spirit. After patiently listening, he said, "Stephen, you talk to me as if I am ready to check out. I still have two important projects I need to complete." How true to form, how true to character, how true to the principles of logotherapy. Frankl's desire and determination to continue to contribute reminded me of his collaborative work with Dr. Hans Selye of Montreal, Canada, famous for his research and writings on stress. Selye taught that it is only when we have meaningful work and projects that our immune system is strengthened and the degenerative aging forces are slowed down. He called this kind of stress eustress rather than distress, which comes from a life without meaning and integrity. I'm sure these two souls influenced each other, reinforcing both the physical and psychological benefits of logotherapy, of man's search for meaning. When Alex Patakos graciously invited me to write a foreword to Prisoners of Our Thoughts and told me that the Frankl family had suggested this to him, I was both honored and excited to participate, particularly since they felt my work with organizations in management and leadership beautifully paralleled Viktor Frankl's Principles at Work, the heart of this splendid book. My sense of the significance of this book deepened further when Patakos wrote me, "A year before he died, I was sitting with Dr. Frankl in his study, and he grabbed my arm and said, 'Alex, yours is the book that needs to be written.' I will never forget how deeply moved and inspired I was in the 60s when I studied man's search for meaning and also the doctor and the soul. These two books, along with Frankl's other writings and lectures, reaffirmed my soul's code regarding our power of choice, our unique endowment of self-awareness, and our essence, our will for meaning. While on a writing sabbatical in Hawaii, and in a very reflective state of mind, I was wandering through the stacks of a university library and picked up a book. I read the following three lines, which literally staggered me, and again reaffirmed Frankl's essential teachings. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies our freedom and our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our happiness." I did not note the name of the author, so I've never been able to give proper attribution. On a later trip to Hawaii, I even went back to find the source and found the library building itself was no longer present. The space between what happens to us and our response, our freedom to choose that response, and the impact it can have upon our lives, beautifully illustrate that we can become a product of our decisions, not our conditions. They illustrate the three values that Frankl continually taught: the creative value, the experiential value, and the attitudinal value. We have the power to choose our response to our circumstances. We have the power to shape our circumstances. Indeed, we have the responsibility, and if we ignore this space, this freedom, this responsibility, the essence of our life and our legacy could be frustrated. One time I was leaving a military base where I had been teaching principle-centered leadership over a period of time. As I was saying goodbye to the commander of that base, a colonel, I asked him, "Why would you undertake such a significant change effort to bring principle-centered living and leadership to your command when you know full well you will be swimming upstream against powerful cultural forces? You are in your 30th year, and you are retired."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?